remember St. Augustine writes in that beautiful, beautiful book, The Confessions of Augustine, which is a popular book just in the general public. He said about having found, finally, a spiritual father under whose guidance he put himself, he said, "It was God who led me to him so that he could lead me to God."
The subject is confession, which coexists with and complements many other actions and thoughts, including being a spiritual mentor. We'll hear more about all of that on today's edition of Come Receive the Light. Confession is also a sacrament, as is baptism. Another topic for us today.
So what does Jesus do? Jesus goes into the water not so that the water could baptize him, but so that he could return water to its original intent. Water was always meant to truly clean, to truly refresh, and to truly satisfy our real thirst.
Father Christodoulos on confession and Father Barnabas on baptism, and I'm Mike Trout on Come Receive the Light with our host, Father Christopher Metropoulos. We'll hear from him in a few minutes. Welcome to this weekly visit from the Orthodox Christian Network. We call it OCN. We've been on the air for over 20 years, sharing the timeless wisdom and truth of God's Word. We're on the web at myocn.net and on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. Follow us everywhere. On our website, you'll easily find all of our audio, video, and print resources available to help you grow in your understanding of what the Bible teaches and how it applies to our lives. We're a nonprofit ministry, which means we need you. If we're an encouragement to you, help us continue to be an encouragement to others. All the details about joining with us financially are on the website, again, myocn.net. You'll also learn about some very exciting changes just around the bend for this ministry and for our host, founder and executive director, Father Christopher Metropoulos. Keep coming back for all the details. That's myocn.net. Father Barnabas Powell was a part of OCN for several years as our director of media. He is now the pastor at Saints Raphael, Nicholas, and Irene Greek Orthodox Church in Cumming, Georgia. He also creates a podcast for OCN each month called Beauty Will Save the World, and recently shared just a few thoughts about the sacrament of baptism.
Water, water everywhere, and not a drop to drink. Well, that's the scene of this shipwrecked person in a lifeboat surrounded by oceans of water, and yet, because the water is salt water, it's not healthy for somebody to drink. It's amazing. Being surrounded with the one thing you need, and yet it's not fit for you to consume it because it's not in the right frame of mind. It's not in the right chemical construction. It's just not right for you. Well, I want you to think, as we think about baptism, and look at this. We use water so much. We have holy water that we use. We have the baptism that we have at the very beginning of our relationship with the mystical work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have the blessings of homes every month. Kalikronia, we have Kalomina, and we say happy month to you, and we have the small blessing of the waters. It seems like everywhere we turn, we Orthodox are using water to display a spiritual reality. And I want you to think about that. Why was Jesus baptized in the first place? Well, it wasn't because Jesus needed to repent. The John's baptism that he was doing there at the River Jordan was for repentance. And yet, the Lord Jesus had no sins to repent of. But he goes to John and says, "John, I want you to baptize me." John, of course, recognizes who he is. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And John says, "Hey, I think you need to baptize me rather than me baptizing you." But Jesus says, "No, John. It is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Well, what did the Lord mean by that? Well, it simply meant not that Jesus needed to be baptized, but that the water needed Jesus. The whole mystical reality of our Orthodox understanding of the creation is broken because of the fall. All of creation, all of the universe has been turned inside out because now all of the things that God has created that were originally intended to reflect His glory and to reflect His presence and to reflect His truth and His love and His presence have all been turned around, surrounded by everything we need, and yet it's broken. So what does Jesus do? Jesus goes into the water not so that the water could baptize Him, but so that He could baptize the water, so that He could return water to its original intent, what it was always meant to truly clean, to truly refresh, and to truly satisfy our real thirst. The beauty of our Orthodox faith is the recapturing of the created order to be used for the glory of God. Precious friends, what a joy it is to be in a theology, to be in a church, to be in a place where all of creation is recaptured and returned to what it was meant to do in the first place, and that is to glorify God.
Beautiful thoughts from Father Barnabas Powell. His podcast on OCN is called Beauty Will Save the World, and you can listen to all of his thoughts when you go to myocn.net and click on the Listen button and select Podcasts. Father Powell is the pastor at St. Raphael, Nicholas, and Irene Greek Orthodox Church in Cumming, Georgia. You're listening to Come Receive the Light, a weekly visit from OCN, the Orthodox Christian Network. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos, who has been standing by, so to speak, with our featured conversation.
We'd like to welcome back Archimandrite Christodoulos Papadeas, the Ierokirikes, the preacher-confessor of the Greek Orthodox Metropolis of Atlanta. Father Christodoulos, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Father Chris.
Father, one of the sacraments we sometimes forget about as Orthodox faithful is confession. Mm-hmm. Some people will say, you know, God already knows what I did. Why do I have to go to confess my sins? How do we respond to that comment when it's addressed to us?
It's true that God does know my sins, and it sort of pierces my heart when I hear the fact that He does, and it frightens me a little bit. But that fright, shall we say, is really that gift of shame that St. Basil tells us we were covered with right from the get-go. When Adam and Eve in the garden had fallen, St. Basil tells us that Christ, God, the Holy Trinity, immediately covered them with that beautiful gift of healthy shame. Mm-hmm. And when we have that feeling of shame, then we don't have to go to confession. We want to go to confession as a different perspective. And as a matter of fact, saying that, priests or spiritual fathers don't want to hear confession. They have to. But we, as the faithful, the one who wants to be responsible for our personal growth and our development as Christian people, want to go and bear our hearts so that we can continually refresh.
In the Orthodox Church, we have the role of the spiritual father, a priest who guides a person, hears their confessions. What is the benefit of that spiritual father for each person, Father?
As you and I know well, or as we're continuing to realize more and more, we do bear Christ's priesthood. He told the apostles, one of the great commands that He gave them was to go and forgive sins. What a great responsibility. What an awesome responsibility. And of course, they responded in kind. And Peter said, who can forgive sins but God? And Christ, of course, continued to have that dialogue with Him, and Peter thought maybe seven times is enough when Christ asked him, but Christ said seven times 70. Mm. He wants and He came to give us His forgiveness. And once we get realize that in our lives, all of us, then we just want it. In every way that we can get God's forgiveness, we're going to want it, because we know that we make mistakes. And it's not that anybody is without sin. We're all sinners. He came to save sinners. And that key point about confession and the privilege that we have to watch over ourselves in this beautiful way is that Christ said, I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Mm. And likewise, we spiritual fathers have no reason and no hopeful desire to judge anybody that comes to confession. While we're saying and we're hearing confession, at least that's how I've been taught, I'm thinking about my sins.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a humbling experience, isn't it, when someone comes before you and before the icon and bears their soul. I am, every time I hear a confession, I'm really cut to the core.
Yes,
it's just
yes.
an amazing experience.
Saint Nicodemus of Mount Athos from Naxos, the beautiful island of Naxos, mm-hmm. he says that the one who comes for holy confession is to be respected like no other.
Mm.
That person has come forth, and he's worthy of our devotion and our attention.
Something comes to me, Father, and that is that, you know, all of us have thoughts that lead us or could lead to sins occurring. Do the fathers differentiate between thought, action? I believe they do, but you can tell me more about that.
Yes, of course. Our Savior himself says that even if you've looked at a woman with lust, it's as if you did it. Mm-hmm. There's a beautiful little-known experience of St. John Chrysostom, that great saint who gives us the Divine Liturgy. He had an experience when he was the Patriarch of Constantinople, when many of his priests were teaching incorrectly that having had a thought is as if you did it, whatever thought it might be. Mm-hmm. And it was causing a little bit of a stir throughout the archdiocese because people, all the masses of people, were thinking, because of that teaching that some priests were teaching, that is, if they had the thought, it's if they did it, and everybody was uneasy.
Mm-hmm.
And he prayed and prayed and prayed what he could do for this situation to calm everybody down. And he decided, as God gave him to have a dinner for all the priests. And he invited all the priests of the archdiocese to the patriarchate there. And they prepared a beautiful, beautiful dinner. Of course, they arrived at the patriarchate and they said Vespers together. And then they were escorted to the dining area of the patriarchate where a sumptuous meal was laid out. All the table was filled with the meats and fishes and all kinds of cheeses and salads and this and that. Of course, every priest stood by his chair, entered in the patriarch John Chrysostom with his deacon at the head of the table, and he nodded to the deacon to begin the prayers. And the prayer began, but the deacon continued on and on and on. Maybe a half hour went by when finally John Chrysostom nodded again, and that's when the deacon said, Vox Apatrikeo, glory to the Father, Holy Father, bless. And John Chrysostom, that great saint of ours, said, now you may all go home. It's as if you ate it, isn't it?
Mm.
They had been standing over that sumptuous food for half an hour, and their appetite was growing.
Well, that took care of that issue, right?
Right.
Wow. That's an incredible story. I've never heard that one before.
Yes.
That's amazing. Father, how about the issue of going to a different priest every time you go to confession? Does it matter that you do that? Talk about consistency for us dealing with the root of the spiritual sicknesses sometimes.
Of course, it doesn't matter because the privilege is ours that through the priest we're really bearing our souls before Christ. So ultimately, it really does not matter, but practically it might. Just like our dentist, we want to have regularity with our dentist who knows our history of our teeth and what it might be, and so that he doesn't have to re-go through our whole history every time we go to a new dentist or a doctor, whatever, what have you. And the same thing with the spiritual father. It's practical to want to have a close relationship with someone who knows you and can guide you properly.
How does one find a spiritual father? I mean, is it for years, I remember, we didn't have the blessing that that they had in Greece where they had father confessors that would go from village to village. The parish priest was the confessor.
Yeah.
So how does one find? Is it something is there a list? I mean, how do we deal with that?
That's a very good question. Of course, our metropolitan, His Eminence Alexios, is the only one in the Archdiocese of America who's began using an itinerant spiritual father to help that issue. Well, I would just say we have to be prayerful about it. We do in some bigger metropolitan areas have, you know, three or four churches and maybe five or six priests from whom we can feel a better relationship if that is what we're looking for. Ideally, it's nice just to be able to go to your parish priest, but that's not always comfortable for everybody. We don't want to force people into having to have to appreciate or like the character or personality of their priest.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest that people make it a point just in their own daily prayers to have that as a sincere desire, and God will reveal to them and help them, each of us, to find a spiritual father.
Okay, that makes sense. You know, confession for some people, I've noticed, becomes sort of a a psychological counseling session. Mm-hmm. And my education tells me that's not the purpose of the confession.
Mm, it's funny you said that. Recently, a young woman sitting with me said, I feel kind of like I should be on a couch just sharing my things, and they do mm-hmm. in a psychological situation. But what can I say about that?
I mean, it's hard to separate mind, body, soul.
Yes, it is.
So there's a, I guess, a modicum of it in it, but what do you feel?
To be true to the word, psychology means the study of the soul. Psyche, mm-hmm. psycho, is the soul.
Yeah.
And so we know that the church fathers were the finest of psychologists, if we were to use the term. It is a privilege, actually. That's why we like that personal relationship with a spiritual father who knows us, mind, body, and soul, so that he can help us. And in fact, I remember Saint Augustine writes in that beautiful, beautiful book, The Confessions of Augustine, which is a popular book just in the general public. He said about having found, finally, a spiritual father for whom he was, under whose guidance he put himself, he said, it was God who led me to him so that he could lead me to God. And so saying that, I remember it became also a goal of mine as a young man, and not when I became a monk, but even before, that I would let my spiritual father know me better than I know myself so that he could properly guide me. So I didn't hide anything. I wanted to tell him every churning of my soul, thoughts, feelings, wonderings, dreams, and so forth, so that he could guide me. And this has helped me tremendously. So it's a step we have to take. It's a little bit of a leap of faith mm-hmm. to let ourselves be known to another. But we have confidence. That's why we want to find a spiritual father to whom we feel comfortable with.
And the trust factor is obviously very, very important here, because what we hear many times is, well, Father, you know, I have trouble confessing that sin before you, because then you will know what's going on. And when you look at me, you'll look at me in a different way, in a different light.
Right.
And you know, we've dealt with that. I'm sure you have. Can you respond to that?
This is why we priests have a deeper responsibility of humility mm-hmm. and of a proper insecurity of ourselves, and a proper analogous depth of faith in Christ, and that is felt from the people who come to us. They know that we don't trust ourselves, but that we trust Christ, that we live in His embrace, that we trust the protection we have from Panagia and all the saints. And so we sit as co-sinners next to one another, the spiritual father and the one confessing. So when they know that we know that, then they feel more comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I try to point that out to people too, because it's a frightful thing, as you said and feel, to be hearing the confession of another, but it's a responsible, such a responsible position mm-hmm. that we take it seriously and we're prayerful. I don't stop praying while I'm listening right. to the other bare his heart.
Let's talk about the actual confession itself. Can you offer the listeners some guidance? Many of them may feel the need for forgiveness, but they don't even know where to start. Does a father confessor, you know, prompt with questions? Help us out, Father.
That's a good point. You know, St. Nicodemus also, again, who wrote that beautiful book for the guidance of spiritual fathers, doesn't suggest to us too much to ask questions, because that can be a little bit unnerving and uncomfortable for the person coming. I remember one time when I first was made a spiritual father by my Yaroda, who's the present Archbishop Metropolitan of New Zealand, a very, very holy man and devout churchman. He would have me sit in with him on confessions. It was maybe 8 or 9 months, as I recall. He'd always ask the person, do you mind if Father Christodoulos sits with us? And nobody ever minded, because they had complete confidence in Yaronda. And so I would sit in on confessions, which is not unlike the young student of a physician who will stand by an expert surgeon when they're doing surgery. What do they call that, an intern or a resident?
An intern, yeah.
And so I remember one time there was a gentleman who came. He was introduced to the Yaronda by his wife. He was suffering from some form of cancer, and he had never been to confession. And his wife and his relatives encouraged him to come and see the Yaronda. And Yaronda asked him, do you mind if Father Christodoulos sits with us? He says, no, I don't mind. We sat, and Yeranda was gracious to him, and we were in their home, as a matter of fact. We were grateful to be in your home, to eat with you, and to celebrate your Ayaz Mor, whatever we were celebrating. And then Yeranda said, all right, just say what you like, anything burdening your soul, and I'll read you the prayer. And the man was a little bit dumbfounded. I was observing this, as you see. And he said, well, Yeranda, can't you just kind of ask me a question to get me started? And Yeranda said, well, we don't ask questions. It's personal. Anything burdening your soul, you want to say it, please say so, and I'll read you the prayer. And the man was stuck. And he again asked Yeranda, couldn't you just one little question, something to get me started, because I'm not sure how it goes. I don't think I had a confession since I was 10 or 12 years old. He said, well, really, Yanni, he said, what would I ask? There's so many sins from A to Z. What would I start with? Just, you'll get it. There's something that's burdening your soul. You offended somebody, or you feel you're not right with God or something. You say it, and I'll read you the prayer. Well, he again asked, and Father, then Yeranda was in a corner now because the man was, please, just one question. He was a little bit humorous. Well, Yeranda then didn't think about it too much. He just asked a question since he was telling him to. And the question he asked was, do you go to church regularly? And I saw it, and the man was like the proverbial child in the cookie jar. He turned red, and he hung his head low. And after he raised up his head a little bit, he said, oh, Yeranda, you got me. And he says, I only go to church on the 15th of August for Panagia and on Pascha. And you know what? The wisdom that I saw in that moment was of our Yeranda and of the love that Christ came to bring us all. Yeranda said, why, that's very regular. Please kneel down and I'll read you the prayer.
Oh, you see? Yeah.
He encouraged him where he was at.
Right.
And he was regular.
Yeah.
15th of August and Pascha.
And Pascha.
And that man, I never saw a man so grateful in my life. When he came up from under the epitarchilia off of his knees, he embraced Yeranda, he had tears in his eyes, and he thanked him. Mm-hmm. And he felt the grace of the weight lifted off of him for just what he said. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure his life continued. I don't know the aftermath, but I'm sure he was more in church. He was suffering from what he was suffering. And Yeranda's love to him was Christ-like. Like the woman caught in the adultery that they were going to stone. Christ said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And the woman who had fallen into adultery was healed. And Christ asked her, go and sin no more.
Mm-hmm. No, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Father, you know, we could talk with you all day, but I only have one more question for you.
Yes.
How detailed should someone... Well, actually, I'm going to make it a two-point question.
Mm-hmm.
How detailed should someone be with listing their sins?
Yes.
And what about this? I've heard in the past when people will go to confession, they have to do a lifetime confession, go back and confess the same sins over again.
Right.
Could you address those two issues for us?
Yes. The first, we can be as detailed as we feel necessary that we want to get something off of our shoulders to get it out. The lifetime confession... sometimes this is very good because I use simple examples like when we eat corn on the cob. After you've eaten a nice corn on the cob with your butter and your salt and everything, invariably there's pieces of corn that are caught in your teeth. And even hours can go by, if it's lunch or dinner, where you still got some in the back of your teeth and so forth, and you don't feel quite comfortable till you get that out. Well, likewise, in our lives, we want to get everything out. And we'll feel free when we get out. And forgive me for the little bit difficult other example. Often, perhaps all of you, and I have too, had to throw up for food or for whatever. And when you're throwing up, you don't feel quite right till it's all out. And you keep going back to the toilet. You want to get it out. But finally, when you do get everything out, the last little bad food or whatever it was, you feel great. And so it's a good thing. In fact, many converts to the church ask me that. Should I go back and look over my life? Well, I say that's up to you, but wouldn't it be nice to know that you just thought about your life and you want to clear yourself with everything? Sometimes, even at my age, I'll remember something I did when I was 14 or when I was 25 or whatever it might be, and I want to call my spiritual father and, can I have a confession? I say, yes, I remembered something I did when I was 14. I just want to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's helpful. It's helpful.
Sure.
But, of course, there's no rules exactly. How we feel.
Okay. Father Christodoulos, thank you very much for your valued insight into the sacrament of confession.
Thank you, Father Chris, for the good work that we do for OCN.
Thank you.
It's a wonderful sharing for everybody.
Well, I hope you have enjoyed our broadcast today as much as I have enjoyed bringing it to you. A couple of wonderful conversations, and you can listen to them again when you go to our website at myocn.net, click on the Listen button, and select CRTL, or Come Receive the Light. That's myocn.net. Remember, we're a nonprofit outreach. We do depend upon your prayer support and your financial support. If the Lord lays it on your heart to join with us, again, go to the website at myocn.net and click on the Support Now or Donate button on the homepage. I'm Mike Trout. Our host each week is Father Christopher Metropoulos. We'll be back next week at this same time. Tell your friends about us and join us if you can at this same time on this station or listen online again at myocn.net. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.